how's your wine doing? Have you noticed over the days, over the weeks, over the months, over the years that the wine level has been dropping? It's been getting thinner and thinner, weaker and weaker, until finally you notice you've reached the bottom of the bottle. How is your wine doing? The spiritual wine, the nourishing wine of God's presence in your life. How is the wine of God, and what is the level of the wine of God's Spirit in your life? How is your experience of the wine of God's presence going in your life? There are times when I go through my life and my ministry when I noticed that the level of spirit, the level of strength, the level of interest has reached the point that I think if I am going to have to go up to that church yet another time without a new infusion of the wine of the presence of God's love and majesty, I just can't do it. I'd rather sit at home and watch TV. I'd rather sit at home and surf the internet. I'd rather sit at home and talk on the phone with friends. I'd rather get in the car and go to a bookstore and browse the shelves. I'd rather get in the car and go to a movie theater and sit in a dark hall for a couple of hours and get lost in some story. I'd rather do anything but come up to this building yet again. How is the level of wine in your life today? Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes the Christian life can be very difficult, and we get self-conscious and we get afraid of stepping out in faith, taking a risk, taking a chance, and doing what Jesus says. Sometimes we can get very afraid. And in those moments, we need to hear what Jesus says to us. We need to act. We need to obey. In this story from the second chapter of John's Gospel, we see the first of Jesus' miracles. And I think it's an amazing thing to note that the very first miracle of Jesus was to change the water into wine to keep a party going. Jesus is my kind of guy. Thank you. His mother comes and says, "There's no wine. It's all been drunk. It's no wine. It's all been drunk." Let's look at what John says. "When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what concern is that of you and to me? My hour has not yet come.'" Interesting how he connects this with his hour, his time, his giving of himself. There's a deeper meaning here than just the booze has run out. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." It's like she didn't even hear him. "Do whatever he tells you." Now, standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Wow. That's a lot of gallons of water here that they're getting ready to take care of. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. And when the steward tasted the water that had become wine, he did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Wow. There's more than just the story about replenishing the booze supply here. Jesus did more than bring his own. He brought the very Spirit of God. And sometimes we look in our lives and we see that the wine of God's Spirit has been shrunk down and evaporated and used up to the point that we have become dry. And there's nothing left to nourish us. Nothing left to perk us up. Nothing left to go on. In those moments, we look and we see there's only ordinary water, the ordinary stuff of life, the day-to-day need for sustenance. Nothing special. We can keep going in this life, but there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no rejoicing. There's just water. Not even sparkling water, it's just water. And in those moments, Jesus tells us to take our ordinary stuff, the ordinary stuff of who we are, the ordinary water of our life, and pour it into the purifying presence of Almighty God. Take water and pour it into these six large jars for the rites of Jewish purification. Take the water of your life and pour it into the purifying presence of Jesus. The purifying presence of Almighty God. When you're feeling as though the wine of your life has gotten thin and watered down, and then finally it's gone, and there's nothing to sustain you and nothing to fill you with life eternal, take the ordinary part of you, the ordinary water of life, and consecrate it to Almighty God. Take your very self and open yourself up to His purification. Notice these jars. There are six of them. Each one can hold 20 or 30 gallons. That's 120 to 180 gallons, and it becomes wine. That's no secret, friends. That means that God provides when we pour our lives, the ordinary stuff of our lives, into God's plan, into God's intention for us, into God's church, into God's words, into God's sermon, into God's prayer life. When we pour ourselves into God, He transforms all that we have and are and more into an overabundance of the wine of God. Amen. He turns the ordinary stuff of our life into the wine of God. Not a wine that intoxicates and harms, but a wine that intoxicates with the Holy Spirit and makes us truly His celebrating children. How is your wine level tonight? How is the level of the Spirit of God in your life tonight? In the next chapter, Jesus will meet Nicodemus. And the classic, famous conversation in which Jesus says to him, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus wants to know, "How can a man who is old enter his mother's womb and be born again?" With humans, it's impossible. It's impossible to turn water into wine. It's impossible to bring back to life broken and tattered bodies. It's impossible to revivify dead spirit. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. With God, the dry bones of your life can be brought back to life. With God, the ordinary water that you have can be transformed into an overabundance of the wine of God by the purifying presence of His Spirit. If you want to be refilled and empowered and filled anew with the presence of Jesus, lay yourself before Him tonight. This morning I preached on the difficulty of stumbling blocks that we place before ourselves and others in our freedom. Tonight I invite you to consider what is keeping you dry. What is keeping you bereft of the wine of God? Are you afraid to do what Jesus says? If you are, His mother had an excellent piece of advice. Do whatever He says. Are you afraid of overflowing with the wine of God? That's what Jesus promises us. When we turn ourselves over to Him, that's what Jesus promises us. Are you afraid to do it? Back in the 1960s, there was a wonderful cartoon that circulated around at Berkeley University in California. And it was it's a couple of frames worth of a cartoon of a bunch of drunks gathered around a table. And there's a bottle in the middle of the table, and there's a bunch of drunks, and then there's a gonky-looking little kid sitting at the table. And you see the bottle, and the level in the bottle gets lower and lower and lower and lower. And Jesus has in front of Him a little goblet of water. And after the wine runs out, He puts His hand over the little goblet of water, and frame after frame, it turns into wine. And the last frame of the cartoon are all the drunks with their arms around Jesus going, "What a friend we have in Jesus." What a friend we have in Jesus. Because He fills us and intoxicates us with the wine of the power of the presence of Almighty God. What a friend we have in Jesus. Because when our wine level goes low, He fills us up. What a friend we have in Jesus. All we have to do is hear what He says and do it. Tonight, the altar rail is open. Rose, could you come and play "Just As I Am" for us, please? The altar rail is open. This is an altar call, my friends. This is indeed an altar call. Turn in your hymnals to page 357 for "Just As I Am." The rail is open to those who wish to come to pray. If you want Jesus to transform the ordinary water of your life into the spiritual wine of the presence of God, come right here. If you want Jesus to come and fill your life with the overwhelming presence of the Spirit of God and transform your water into wine, come right here.